Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
A lot of people who do not believe, in spite of overwhelming evidence. You know, one of the problems with believing and knowing and standing on the truth of the resurrection is that when you know for sure this happened, it means that everything else Jesus said and did is truth. It means the church is a repository of this truth. It means it changes everything about your life and my life if we simply understand this is true, true truth. You see?
The truth is, Christ's resurrection is the answer to any dark moment you're facing. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Ed Young concludes his Easter message and encourages you with the proven truth that you can stand firmly on the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. It's a powerful message you don't want to miss. Before we get to today's message, we want to help you see God's grace at work through every moment of your life by sending you Dr. Young's three-message CD series, Know the Bible, Grace in Action. The fourth volume of Dr. Young's powerful Know the Bible series, Grace in Action, will help you discover how God's grace can infuse your life with power minute by minute. We'll send you a copy as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Know the Bible, Grace in Action, when you give your gift. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Easter.
How do you present evidence? And let's look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's look, is there evidence here? There is forensic evidence. Forensic evidence is prima facie evidence. It's evidence you have that stands until it's proven to be false. And you have a lot of circumstantial evidence around the resurrection of Jesus that you begin to add up. Bang, 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 bang. Now be careful here, because you move in another kind of reason. Stay with me. I apologize for you having to think on Easter. But there's no more important subject we could ever talk about. So you have to be careful here as how you get involved in evidence to prove something historically, genuinely happened. And you have all kinds of reason that comes into play. You have reason. What kind of reason do we have? Well, we try to reason something objectively and openly. Well, you've got deductive reason. What's the other kind of reason? Anybody know? Inductive reason. What's the difference? Inductive reasoning, you take a lot of facts, and you add them up, you come to conclusion. Inductive reasoning. Deductive reasoning, you start with a thesis, and what is our thesis? Christ is risen. And then you try to prove it. Now be careful with inductive reasoning. Why? You can take just a few facts and be fooled. For hundreds of years, everybody in the world using, though they didn't know the terminology, inductive reasoning, they believed, well, let me tell you, the sun revolves around the earth. Well, where did they get that idea? Well, inductive reasoning. The sun comes up in the morning in the east, and it goes all the way around. It goes down in the west, and it goes all the way around again. And so it's obvious, doesn't it, that you see it? The sun revolves around the earth. But they took just partial facts. But we came along with Galileo and some of his folks, and they also, all the cosmologists said, no. No, it's the other way around. So we have to be careful when we accumulate evidence. But we look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we begin there with a type of inductive reasoning, forensic evidence, circumstantial evidence. Let's look at some of it. We could spend a day looking at it. Well, first of all, that Easter morn, the stone was rolled away. 1.5 tons. And the Greek tells us it was rolled uphill, which even makes it a greater challenge. How did that happen? And the Roman seal was pierced. You know the penalty for breaking the Roman seal without the official permission of the Roman government was you were to be immediately buried alive. So they didn't have any problem with the breaking of Roman seal, let me assure you of that. But the seal was broken. And you go in the tomb and you see the wrappings of Jesus, a little indentation there, a chrysalis-like there, and there's no body. What happened? And then I love the fact that over there was a napkin which had covered his face, and that napkin was folded. What does that mean? Men, let me give you a little lesson in etiquette. The Middle Easterns, they knew this. That little folded napkin was very important. When we're eating, gentlemen, if there's a napkin by your plate, pull it down and put it in your lap. I'm not going too fast for anybody, am I? Now, proper etiquette is when you get up and you take that napkin and you are through eating, you take the napkin and you put it in your chair or you put it over to the side. You don't fold it again. But if you fold the napkin to go and talk to somebody else, that tells anybody that you're going to come back and eat some more. You're going to come back. When you look in the tomb of Jesus Christ and you see a folded napkin, that the Middle East would say, that means he's coming back. Forensic evidence. Forensic evidence. And then you got those guards, those Roman guards there. Here is the humor of Easter to me. I've got a twisted humor. Can you imagine Pilate, the proconsul of Rome, and Caiaphas, the religious leaders, after Jesus was dead in the tomb, Roman seal. Caiaphas goes to Pilate and says, you know, I want you to get some Roman guards. And I want you to guard that tomb. Somebody might Mickey Mouse with the body. You go and get some Roman guards and guard that tomb. And Pilate must have thought, you know, how many guards do you need to keep a dead man dead in a tomb? And Pilate must have looked at those Jewish leaders and say, you Jews are absolutely religious kooks. Guards to keep a dead man in a tomb. Sealed in that manner. How many Roman troops are they going to need to keep there 24/7 to make sure he doesn't get out? And then we look at what happened, another bit of forensic evidence. Here are those apostles who were in hiding. Judas had killed himself in shame. Peter, who was so bombastic, drew his sword and cut off the ear, and I'm going to stand and give my life. He was nowhere to be found. He ran when the little maid there by the fire, while Jesus in trial, he took off and was AWOL without leave. He was in hiding, in disgrace. All the other apostles, where were they? They didn't show their faith. Luke says the women were at a distance. But just a few weeks later, this same group were right in the middle of the temple, the synagogue in Jerusalem, and they were proclaiming for everybody to hear that Jesus is alive. They were proclaiming Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And by the way, who said that? That phrase we're proclaiming was said by women. That's exactly what they said. And then the rest of it is, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And he is going to talking with Peter. He's talking with Peter. What a witness. Forensic evidence. It's a lot of it. We just touched on it. But what's the best evidence you can have? Let's go to a court of law. Let's see how we do. The best evidence you can have to prove a historical fact is eyewitness evidence. Let's see if we have any of that. Oh, this is beautiful. You go for a court of law, you're trying to prove that Christ is risen, and you go before the court, you give all the forensic evidence and said, I want to give you some eyewitness evidence. And so you would bring these witnesses up and let's listen to them. First witness, eyewitness, post-resurrection, saw Jesus, Mary Magdalene, John 20, 10 through 18. The other women, Matthew 28, 8 through 10. To Cephas, the other disciple, the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, 13 through 32. They heard Jesus dead, they thought he was all over. He appeared to them. To 11 apostles and others, Luke 24, 33 through 49. To 10 apostles and others with Thomas absent, John 20, 19 through 23. To Thomas and the other apostles, John 20, 26 through 30. To 7 apostles, John 21, 1 through 14. To the disciples, Matthew 28, 16 through 28. He was with the apostle on Mount of Olives, made his announce his ascension, Luke 24, 53, Acts 1, 4 through 9. Matthew 28, 8 through 10, he was meeting with 11 apostles in which he gave them the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 16 through 20, he's meeting with the disciples. In John 20, 19 through 23, he showed them his hands and his side. And you bring all those up, he'd seen over 40 days, and they gave their witness and their testimony, and they were cross-examined, let's say, about 15 minutes per witness. It would take from breakfast on Monday all the way to dinner on Friday night, 24 hours a day, you'd have about 129 hours in that court of law. People saying firsthand, cross-examined, he was dead and I saw him alive. Now, if that's not enough, there's 500 men, and I don't know how many women, they didn't count the women in that day, and teenagers and young people who saw him alive. Let's bring those 500 up, and let's really have a trial. And you bring them up in 6 minutes apiece, and you hear their testimony of what they saw with 500 in a crowd, and they give their witness for it. That's another 30 or 40 hours of personal eyewitness testimony. So you take forensic evidence, you take eyewitness evidence, and you present all this, and I turn over to my counselor on the other side and say, okay, counselor, you prove to me this is not a historical fact. You'd lose every single time because Christ is risen. Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we've established that. And by the way, I have spent a lot of time reading the Passover plot. I've heard the delusional theories. I've heard the idea of what the Jews could have done, what the Romans could have done. I have looked at all that ad infinitum, and it just doesn't stand up even a scintilla to refute the fact that Christ is risen. Okay, we agree. Why is that important? Oh. First of all, it's important because Paul says it right here in Corinthians. It's the axis upon which all of Christianity revolves. He said, if Jesus was not resurrected from the dead, everything about Christianity is invalid. You can take the life of Jesus Christ and you can put it down and you can put on top of it fiction. Stamp it fiction, says Paul. Therefore, it is the heart of what we have. If Jesus Christ did not defeat death, Christianity is invalid, says the Bible. And we have seen tremendous evidence, overwhelming evidence that gives us complete assurance, but it's not only important because it's the very foundation of Christianity, but it's important to all of us, to everybody, because there's not anybody here, unless you're very, very, very young, who hasn't known someone who's taken their last breath and they've left this earth. My dad left this earth. My mother left this earth. My younger brother suddenly died, left this earth. Joe Beth, high school sweetheart, married 58 years, had three sons, 11 grandchildren, left this earth. My granddaughter, Lee Beth, only 34, suddenly, without warning, left this earth. But the thing that hurts most in my life, all of those, especially I think of Joe Beth. I mean, goodness. And if the Lord personally visited me and I would ask him what a lot of us would ask, we'd say, why? You know, we'd say, why? And I think the Lord would answer very, very gently and say, Edwin, did I raise my son from the dead? I'd say, Lord, yeah, I know that. That's absolute historical fact. I've looked at it. I'm confident. I don't have a scintilla of doubt. Yes. But Lord, I want to ask, Edwin, did I raise my son from the dead? Yes. And then he could added, he said, if I live, Jesus, then you too shall live. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, this resurrected body. I know, Lord, but what about my granddaughter? I mean, listen, Edwin, did I raise my son from the dead? Yeah. I got it, Lord. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the answer to this dark moment of life, because we know on the other side there is glory and glory and glory and a fullness of life in that resurrection body that is out of this world. A lot of people who do not believe, in spite of overwhelming evidence. You know, one of the problems with believing and knowing and standing on the truth of the resurrection is that when you know for sure this happened, it means that everything else Jesus said and did is truth. It means the church is a repository of this truth. It means that changes everything about your life and my life if we simply understand this is true, true truth. You see? And that's a whole new beginning of life here and life forever.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Because he died, we can live. Because he obeyed, we can be forgiven. Because he was condemned, we can be saved. Following Jesus is not about better, faster, stronger, higher. It is about recognizing our helplessness, admitting our guilt, receiving his sacrifice on our behalf. Everything depends on the crucifixion and resurrection. Everything.
That means nothing is left to depend on us. Grace is something we receive, not something we earn or can ever learn. We do not come to the cross as worthy folks, promising to do better. We come as desperate beggars, acknowledging our need and seeking God's empowering, forgiving, unchanging, amazing grace. Herein lies a tremendous promise. Since nothing depends on us, since everything depends on God, victory is certain. We have an ironclad guarantee of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life if only we receive Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. If you have never taken that step, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can right now by saying this simple prayer for salvation. Dear Father, you know all about me. I confess to you all of that which I am ashamed of and you have convinced me is absolutely contrary to life. I confess my sin. I turn from all known sin in my life. And right now, I invite Jesus Christ to take over my life and make me into a brand new person. Thank you for salvaging me, restoring me to the purpose for which I was made. In Jesus' name, amen. For those who are already believers, we want to give you the opportunity to nail to the cross the sins that weigh you down. Do this as a reminder that Jesus has paid the cost for those sins so you don't have to. Jesus has borne their burden, so your conscience need no longer be weighed down. Jesus will carry us to heaven, so we need not try to earn our way there. Identify those sins that seem to stick to you like glue. And also think about those memories that just don't seem to go away, that come back mentally to condemn you. Then nail all this to the cross. Nail all of it, the past, the present. Nail it all to the cross. And hear Jesus say, as far as your sin, my trash, your trash, it's done with, it's finished. I've paid the price. Pray with me. Jesus, I am confident in you. Realizing all that you have done for me on the cross brings great joy and peace to my life. I can count on you. My access to the Father, assurance of forgiveness of my sins, enter into eternal life, all depend on you. I trust you. I give my life, everything that I have, everything I'll ever be, to you. Oh Lord, I worship you for what you have done, and Lord, for what you will do from now throughout all eternity. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for taking us in your family, for giving us a fresh new start, for allowing us to take off the old and put on the new. Thank you for taking us and making us totally into new persons. We praise you for that. In Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you, and we'd love to help you further by sending you Dr. Young's series, Know the Bible, Grace in Action, as our thanks for your gift of support. This three-message resource invites you to experience God's grace at work through every moment of your life, even the messy ones. Struggling with doubt? God gives grace to believe. Feeling worthless and unseen? He gives grace to thrive in your spiritual gifting. Burdened for others? He gives grace to share his good news with boldness. Drawn from the New Testament examples of Thomas, Stephen, and Timothy, this series will encourage you that no matter how messy or mundane life gets, God is there with you, for you, giving grace for what you need. So call now to request your copy of Know the Bible, Grace in Action, as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being here today on The Winning Walk. Join us again next week as Dr. Young shares a powerful message and how you can stand boldly for truth in a world of counterfeits. You won't want to miss it. Happy Easter.